Today's shir is a schuz, being dedicated for a schuz for Fu Shlema for Shalom ben Bracha. Today's shir is Masecht in the Dorim, Daf Lama Dalad, but we will begin on Daf Lama Gimel Lama Beis, nine lines from the bottom, Machzalei Avedosai. The Mishnah discussed where a person made a nether that he can't have benefit from another person. The Mishnah taught us the halacha is that Machzalei Avedosai, that he could return to him if he found something that he had lost. And the Gemara begins our shir with discussing exactly what is the circumstance that we are referring to in our Mishnah, that the Mishnah says he could return something that he lost. It says the Gemara, Pligaba, there's a machlokes Rav Ami Rav Asi, how to understand the din that we learned in our Mishnah. Chanam Aloy Shanu, that the Mishnah is referring to a situation that the person who lost this object, there's a nether that says that he can't have any benefit from the person who found the object. For therefore, says the Gemara, he may receive from that individual the return, the lost object. The chima hadalei, because what he's returning, he's only returning to him something that belongs to him anyway. He's just giving him back something which is his anyway. And since he's returning to him something which is his anyway, it's not considered as if he's having any benefit from him. And since it's not considered as if he's having any benefit from him, that's why the halacha teaches us that he could take it back, because he's not gaining from him. Says the Gemara Masechta Ksubis has a different way of understanding this Gemara. The Gemara Masechta Ksubis says that the person who's returning the object is just doing what the Torah requires him to do. The Torah requires that if I find something, I have to return that object to him. And the second, so I have to return what I found. And the second aspect is I have to do whatever it takes to return it. So the Ritva explains what the Gemara means to say, how this way he explains in Masechta Ksubis, because since he's only returning what anyway belongs to the person who lost it, so then he's not really doing anything. I, the Tircha, that he is going out of his way to return to him his lost object. So explains the Ritva that indeed he's being matriach himself. Indeed, he's working on behalf of a person who may not have hanah from him. But even though he's doing so, the reality is he's not doing so because he wants to benefit this person whom he may not benefit. The reason he's doing it is because he wants to fulfill a mitzvah. And since he wants to fulfill a mitzvah, that's not considered that he did an act of benefiting. The Rashba says that a different pshat. If I won't be the person to return it to you, because I may not benefit you, somebody else will, of course, do the mitzvah the Torah requires us to do, to return to you something that you lost. And since, explains the Rashba, if it wouldn't be me, it'll be someone else, it's not considered that I really benefited you because I'm doing something that would have happened anyway. The Talmid de Rabbeinu Yoina has a different pshat. He says that since I'm doing what the Torah requires me to do, there's a mitzvah in the Torah of Hashavas Aveda. Since the Torah is requiring me to do Hashavas Aveda, so I'm not doing what I'm doing on your behalf. I'm doing what the Torah requires that I should do. And since I'm only doing what the Torah requires that I do, it's not considered I'm benefiting you. But, says the Gemara, Aval Nichsei Baal Aveda Asura Lamachzer. But if the person who lost the object, the person who returns it, may not have benefit from him, like Kamad Halei, then the halacha is that he can't return the object. Why can't he return the object? Why can't he return it? The Kamad Halei put to the Yosef. Because this person is profiting from this. Why is he profiting? Because there's a concept in halacha of Prutud Rabbi Yosef. Prutud Rabbi Yosef says that if somebody is watching somebody else's lost object, he is considered like a shayma sachar. And as we're going to learn in Masechet Baba Metzia, a shayma sachar is not responsible if the object that he's watching is stolen or lost. So now, if he, as he's watching this, he becomes a shayma sachar, and if somebody comes to him to ask him for tzedakah at that time, he could claim that he's an oisik b'mitzvah, part of him in a mitzvah. And since he's involved in taking care of somebody's lost object, he doesn't have to give tzedakah at that time. Because, as we just said, the famous rule that we have in Shas, oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. So by him returning this lost object, he's gaining that he wouldn't have to give tzedakah to the poor person. And therefore, since he's gaining, he's not allowed to give back the tzedakah. So the Ran says, as we just said, that the source for the halacha putid Rabbi Yosef is what we just said, because he becomes a shomer aveda, that he's potter from Geneva aveda. But many achronim ask a question. The halacha is that indeed oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah. That if I'm doing one mitzvah, I don't have to at the same time do another mitzvah. But when do we say that rule? Say the achronim, only for mitzvahs I say. Like we just said, if I'm busy doing the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, I don't also at the same time have to give tzedakah. But, as the achronim, when somebody doesn't give tzedakah, there's not just a mitzvah sasei involved. The mitzvah lois sasei involved as well. Because the Torah Kedosha says that if somebody doesn't give tzedakah, lois amitzvah levavcha v'lois sikba itzvah yotcha. So how can we apply here the concept of oisik b'mitzvah tot pata mitzvah? Says the Taz, that when don't we say oisik b'mitzvah potter min ha-mitzvah by lois sasei, explains the Taz, that's only when it involves actively violating a lav. Here we're not actively violating a lav. We're just not giving tzedakah. And even though, says the Taz, not giving tzedakah when we have to give tzedakah involves violating a lav, that's not the type of lav where we don't say oisik potter min ha-mitzvah. The Rabbi Chanan answers as follows. He says, when we speak about the mitzvah tzedakah, the mitzvah tzedakah is a mitzvah sasei. Why did the Torah add lois amitzvah levavcha v'lois sikba itzvah yotcha? The Torah only wanted to strengthen the mitzvah sasei, to show what an important mitzvah sasei this is, that if you're not going to give the tzedakah, you're not only violating a mitzvah sasei, you're also going to be doing a lois sasei. But it's primarily a mitzvah sasei. And since it's primarily a mitzvah sasei, we could say the halacha mitzvah sasei The Stipler says that you're only violating the lav lois amitz v'lois sikbites if you refuse to give tzedakah because you're just not kind, you're just not ready to be nice to the person, you're not ready, you just don't care about a person. But a person who refuses to give tzedakah, says the Stipler, just because he doesn't want to give tzedakah, not because he's a cruel individual, he's not over loisamitz slavavcha loisamitz and loisikbites. Another teretz is only by a person that goes to give. The Imri Bina explains that you are not over the mitzvah of the lav of loisamitz and loisikbites by an oni who's going from place to place and collecting tzedakah. He says the only time you're over the lav is only when you know of an ani and you just ignore his needs. But if you're not just deliberately ignoring his needs, then you're not over the lav. Another pshat that the Sefer Zeicher Yitzchak suggests, he says that in Hashavas Aveda, there's a mitzvah sasei, and there's also a mitzvah loy sasei, which is loy sucha l'sa'alei. Where do we say that oisik b'mitzvah, potter min mitzvah only applies to mitzvahs asei? Is when you're doing a mitzvah that only has in it a mitzvah asei. But when you're doing a mitzvah, Hashavas Aveda, as we're discussing in our Gemara, which involves both a essay and a lois asei, There the halacha is, says the Beis Yitzchak, that we say oisik mitzvah, partim and a mitzvah, even though it involves both a mitzvah sasei and a mitzvah lois sasei. The hakhar amar, says the Gemara, and that's why the Gemara says, according to this opinion, in the case where the person who's returning the object is the one that may not have a know from the person who lost the object, I'm gaining the pruta, the Rabbi Yosef, and that's why it's prohibited. Even though the person who's returning the object is going to gain the pruta, the Rabbi Yosef, he should return the object. What about Pruta de Rabbi Yosef? Says my Pruta de Rabbi Yosef lo shchiach. It's unlikely, says the Ran, that just at the moment when I want to return the object or I'm busy with the object, the Oni is coming to collect tzedakah and I will be exempt from giving him tzedakah. That's an unlikely scenario, and that's why it's not considered that I'm not really gaining. And that's why it's not considered Oisim Mitzvah, Patim and Mitzvah. Another explanation that Tosfos seems to give is that we explain the Pruta of Rabbi Yosef is only according to the Man D'Omer that holds that the person who's watching the Aveda is Potter from Geneva and Aveda because he's considered a Shomer Sacher. But according to the opinions that hold that he's a Shomer Chinam, then that wouldn't be the halacha. And they say that this is considered he's going according to the opinion that he's not a Shomer Sacher, he's only a Shomer Chinam. Tanan, the Mishnah continues the Gemara, that we just learned the first opinion in explaining our Mishnah that we learned in today's shir was that it's only referring to a situation where the Baal Aveda, the person who lost the object, is not allowed to profit from the person who's returning the object. But if the person who is returning the object may not have benefit from the person who lost, since we have the concern of Pruta Rabbi Yosef, therefore he may not return it. Says the Gemara Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Makom Shenoit Nuschar, in a place where people receive a reward for returning an Aveda, the halacha is, that reward that the person who lost the object should have been given to the person who found the object, but the person who found the object may not benefit from the person who lost the object. Therefore, the halacha is that it should be thrown into the Yam HaMelech. So the way the Gemara is learning, the way the Gemara is understanding the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is referring to a case where both of them can have benefits from each other. Says the Gemara, Bishlam demand Omer, afilu nixi bal avedim asur la machzer, that even if the person who lost the object, the person who's returning it, can't have any benefit, still the halacha is nami mahadur, he should still return what was lost. Now we can understand the Mishnah, that even though I'm returning it, and I may return it, still teaches us the Mishnah, that if I'm entitled to a reward, and I'm now either returner of this object, or I'm entitled to a reward, that's why the Mishnah teaches us, since I can't benefit from you, I can't get the benefit, and that's why Tipla Hanoh, La'egdish, the Hanoh should be thrown to Hegdish. El Man Domer. But according to the opinion that we just learned, the Nixi Balam Veda Surla Machser, that if I who found the object, I'm not allowed to have Hanoh from the person who lost the object, then the Loch is Loi Mahadr, then he can't return it. So the Mishnah is obviously only referring to a situation where the person who lost the object may not have benefit from the person who found the object. But the person who found the object is allowed to have benefit from the person who lost the object. So if that's the case of our Mishnah, why would that halacha be? Why should it be thrown to Hegdish? I am allowed to have Hanoh from you. And if I'm allowed to have Hanoh from you, so then I should be allowed to keep the reward. Answers the Gemara, Achadik Tani. Our Mishnah was referring to only one case. Our Mishnah is referring to the person who lost the object, that the Mishnah says that when the Mishnah says that the person who lost the object is supposed to put the reward to Hegdish, it's not because the person who is returning it is not allowed to have benefit from me. The point of the Mishnah is that let's say the person who found the object, this is the way the Rosh explains the Mishnah. I am the person who found the object, and I'm allowed to have anah from the person who lost the object. That's the case of the Mishnah. But I am saying to that person, I don't want to have any benefit. I don't want to get a reward. I don't want to get a reward for a mitzvah. So the halacha is that this person who lost the object still has to dispose of the reward. He just can't keep the reward. Why can't he just keep the reward? Because keeping the reward means that he's benefiting. He's benefiting from me by being able to keep the... I am benefiting from him by holding on to the money that I would have had to spend, which I'm not allowed to benefit from him. And that's why the Mishnah says that I should throw that money that the finder doesn't want to take, give it to Hegdish. And what the Gemara means with the word chada, the word chada means that the Mishnah is speaking only to one of us. The Mishnah is speaking to I, the person who lost the object, not to the other person who found the object. Says the Gemara. But now, as we started today's shir with the machlokes of Rav Ami and Rav Asi and how to understand the Mishnah and which circumstances the lost object may return, there's a different version of this machlokes. Ikad masna b'hai lishna. But that those that learn this discussion in this version. Pligibar of Amir Vasi, Chana Maloy Shanu, the Mishnah that says that I'm allowed to return the lost object, El Shenichse Balaveda Surim Alamachser. The person who lost the object is made a neder that the person who found the object can't have any benefit. I am having benefit. I'm having benefit, the Prutid Rabbi Yosef, says the Gemara, Prutid Rabbi Yosef Lo Shchiach. It's uncommon, as we said before, and therefore, that just at that moment when I'm returning it, an oni should show up. Since it's lo shchiach, it's not something that we have to take in consideration. Avil, in a case, nichse hamachzer asur bal aveda, if the person who lost the object is not allowed to benefit from the person who found the object, lo mahadalei. I'm not allowed to return the object to him, shun dekam mahanalei, and because I'm doing him a favor. What's the favor I'm doing him? I'm giving him back something that he lost. Even though, asks Duran and the Rajba, that we learned in our Mishnah that I could pay off the debt of a person who's not allowed to benefit from me. I could give the machzis a shekel on his behalf. Why is this any different? So he says that in those cases, it's called, as the Gemara called it, Havrachas Ari. I'm just taking off the debt from his head. I'm just taking away his obligation to pay the machzor shekel. Here, where I'm returning the aveda from him, I'm actually giving him something. And since I'm actually giving him something, the Mishnah that I'm not allowed, this opinion holds, to actually give him something, even though it's something that was his all along, that far we can't do. The Charam and the other opinion holds, I feel in Nichse Machzer Asur Bal Aveda, that the person who lost the object is not allowed to have any benefit from me. This is not considered that he's having any benefit from me. Why is it not considered as if he's having any benefit from me? Mishon Midah D'Nafsh Kamahadalei, I'm just giving him back something that really belongs to him. And I saw that the Sefer Nidri's reason really tries to understand, how could you argue with this? I'm giving back something that belongs to him. Why would be considered I'm benefiting from him? Benefiting him. So the Nizri's reason says a very nice part. He says the person who observes what happened here, what does he see? He sees that I'm not allowed, that this person who lost the object is not allowed to have any benefit from me. And now I'm giving him something. He doesn't realize that all I'm doing is returning to him something which belongs to him. And since he doesn't it's not recognizable that I'm just returning something that belongs to this individual, that's why the halacha is that I can't return to him. Ask the Gemara on this version. Tanah, we learned in the Mishnah, makom shenot l'meschar, in a place where somebody gets a reward for doing the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda, tipa hano l'hegdish, they shouldn't get it. It should be thrown into, it should be given to Hegdish. So makes the Gemara's point. That even in the case where the Baal Aveda is not allowed to have any benefit from the person who's returning it, Mahadir, Hanim Taritz, now we could understand what the Mishnah says, Markum Shnait Nuschar, that the Mishnah is referring to the case that the person who is returning the object, the Baal Aveda is not allowed to have any Hanor from him. The Baal Aveda can't hold on to that schar because he's benefiting that schar. The person who's returning the object doesn't want to take any schar, but the halacha can't let you keep that reward that you wanted to give because you're benefiting from me. If the case is that when you're not allowed to benefit from me, loy mahadar, the Mishnah doesn't let me give it back to you, how can we say that we're going to get benefit? I'm not allowed to give it to you. Because this version says that if you, the person who lost the object, may not receive anything from me, even though it's giving back what's really yours. But as we just explained, according to the Sefer Nidri's reason, people who observe this think that you're getting something from me, so I'm not allowed to give it to you. So where would there ever be a reward? That the Mishnah has to discuss what should be the halacha of the reward. And the Gemara actually concludes, Kasha, that's a great question, and the Gemara doesn't have an answer to that question. Amar Rava, continues the Gemara. Rava teaches us a halacha that's relevant to Hilchas Me'ila. And the halacha of Ma'il B'Hegdish, the halacha is that if somebody has benefit, he has hana, or he eats something which is belongs to Hegdish, he's considered a Ma'il B'Hegdish. Or if somebody takes something that was in the Rishus of Hegdish and takes it out of that Rishus, he's also considered a Ma'il B'Hegdish. Furthermore, the halacha of Ma'il B'Hegdish only is B'Shoigig. And if somebody wasn't aware what he's doing is an act of Mi'ila, that's when the special halachas of Ma'il B'Hegdish kicked in. What are those halachas? The person who's Ma'il B'Hegdish has to bring a carbon of Asham Me'ilis, and he also has to pay back to Hegdish Keren, the value of the object, and he also has to add a Chaimish. There's another important halacha, that if the person who is Ma'il B'Hegdish is the Gizber, is the administrative Hegdish, the halacha is that if I take an object that belongs to Hegdish, I'm considered a Ma'il B'Hegdish. If the Gizber is the Ma'il B'Hegdish, so that's his job. He takes care of Hegdish. So he's not considered a Ma'il B'Hegdish until he takes something which belongs to Hegdish and gives it to someone else. So of course, the question that we need to address is we're learning Hilchos Nedarim. Why is our Gemara now coming to teach us the halachas of Ma'il B'Hegdish? So the Rishonim explained, the Ran explains, that since we're going to learn Kikri Alech of Nosnu Matana Mahu, that the halacha is that if I said that you may not have benefit from my bread, and then I gave it to you, at what point is it considered mine still, that you're not allowed to benefit from you? And at what point is it not considered mine, that you are allowed to benefit from you? So that's very similar to the case of Mila, where we're taking something from one rishus to the other. That's why it belongs in our sugya. Taisa says it's connected to another discussion that we're going to have. Is kainim considered hegdish? And since we're going to have a sugya of kainim being Hegdish, that's why it very much belongs here when we speak about Mila B'Hegdish. So begins the Gemara again. Amar Rav Ahoysel, fun of Kikish al Hefker. Somebody had many Rishonim, the Ran and the Rajba, say that this Kikir that belonged to Hefker was within my Dalar Amis. Vomer, and now I said, Kikir is a Hegdish. I now went and said that this Kikir should be Hegdish. And then not lo, lo ochel. And then I took this Kikir, this loaf of bread, which I was Magdish, and now I went to eat it, which is an act of milah, and therefore halacha is malafi kulay. Since I took this bread that belongs to Hegdish to eat it, so I took it from Hegdish Rishus to my own Rishus, and therefore it's considered that I did an act of milah. And as we just said, when we make the evaluation of Karen v'chaimish, I'm going to have to pay the value of that entire loaf of bread. However, if I said Larish Labanov, I didn't say that I'm taking it, that I'm going to eat it. I said that I'm writing it into a will, so to speak, that this bread should be given to my children. But my children haven't received anything yet. Since my children haven't received anything yet, so then the Me'ila Lafi Tavis Anosh Yesh Laba. The value of the Me'ila is that my children feel good that I'm giving them this loaf of bread eventually. So that has a value. That's called Tavis Hanor. And something, since it's Tavis Hanor, that's why that's the value of the Me'ila. The Rishonim ask, if we're starting the Sugya where it's Kikir Shel Hefker, so how could Kikir Shel Hefker doesn't mean it's not mine? And since it's not mine, how could I be Magdish? We know there's a very important halacha that ain other Magdish Dovishayna Shaloi. And because of that, the Ran is very deliberate in saying, as we said, that this Kikir was within my Dalar Amis. And since that it was within my Dalar Amis, that's why anything that's within my Dalar Amis is considered mine. The Rosh says that it doesn't have to be within my Dalar Amis. The fact that I know about this loaf of bread and no one else knows about it, that's enough that it should be considered mine. And therefore the Rosh says, we need to be speaking about Kikir Shel Hefker, but it doesn't have to be within my Dalar Amis. But of course, why does the Rishonim ask the question, why do we have to speak about a Kikir Shel Hefker and then give these terutzim? Why doesn't the Mishnah, why does the Gemara speak about a simple case that I own a loaf of bread, that I have a loaf of bread, and I was Magdashit? And now the question is, Mila. So many, the Shita answers that the reason the Gemara didn't want to give that example is because it's unlikely that I have a Kikir Shel Hegdish, and I know it's Hegdish, that I'm going to go to Mila. Only in this case, where I didn't really own it and I didn't remember, is a more likely, explains the Shita, that I would make this mistake and take something that is Hegdish and use it, or one for my own use, or give it to my children. So in the case of Larisha Abonov, I didn't remove it from Hegdish. All I said was that, as the Ran explains, that I don't want them to take ownership of this Kikir now. I want them only to take ownership of this Kikir after he passes away. And since he's not giving it to them, it's not considered anymore. The only Mila is on the Tovus Hanor. And what is the Tovus Hanor? That my children feel good that they're getting this. And actually, there is a Machlokes Rishonim, when will the Mila be actually considered an act of Mila? Is it going to be at the moment that I make this announcement, or is it only going to be at the moment that the children actually receive it? Continues the Gemara. Bamanei Rav Chiya bar Avi Merava. Kika Alecha. Kikri Alecha. Somebody says to somebody else, my loaf of bread should be also to you. Nosnu Matana. As we mentioned before, and then he gives this person who may not benefit from him the act, the bread. mahu. And the Ran, again, qualifies the Gemara's machlokes, the Gemara's question. The Ran says that it's if the person who made this neder did not give it directly to an individual who's not allowed to have hanor from him. Rather, what he did was, he said that eventually, he said he gave it to someone else, and that person gives it to the person who's not allowed to have hanor from me. That's the case that the Gemara is discussing. But in a case where he gave it to another person in between, that's not a question, that's mutter. So again, somebody made a nether that you are not allowed to have any benefit from my bread, and then he gives it to that person as a gift. Mahu. Kikri Amalai. The way the nether was expressed, as we keep on explaining in our shurim, what's critical in understanding Hilchos Nedarim is understanding what was said. So I said that you are not allowed to benefit from my bread. What does that mean? The ki'isa b'rishusudas, as long as I have ownership of this bread, you can't benefit from him. But now, when I gave it to you, it's not my bread anymore. Since it's not my bread anymore, you could have anah. Adum alecha amalei, alei shavas ha-hegdish. As far as you're concerned, this bread is hegdish. Amalei, so Rav responds to Rechiber, Rav pshita, dafagav the yavalei matana, even though I gave it to you, asur. Says the Gemara, if it becomes usur, even after I gave it to this person as a gift, el kikri elecha, why did he have to say kikri? Lafuki mai, what is he trying to seek us? That lav lafuki, the gan veganmina, it's come to teach us that if the person who's not going to have benefit from it took it, even though maybe he wasn't supposed to take it, that the loch is, he's allowed to have benefit because it's not mine anymore, it's his. So we see that once it's not by me anymore, he has no right to take it. That's not what he meant to say. If somebody invited him to eat in his home, and this piece of bread, this bread is on the table, that's when he can't eat from that bread. Because he meant to say, this bread you may not eat from. But that doesn't mean, it could still mean that he is not allowed to benefit from it, not only in a case where I invite him, but even in a case where he takes it from me. So this Gemara is teaching us a very important halacha. What is the halacha if you're invited to my house? And that's what our Gemara is speaking, that I invite you to my house, and the bread that you eat in my house, what does that mean? Does it mean only that you're not allowed to eat bread while you're in my house? That even if I were to give you the bread, he's allowed to eat that bread, but he can't eat bread while it's my house, because that's what's included in my nether when I said the kikri, my bread is also to you. The Rashi, the Mefarish, has another version of this Gemara that says, if Reuven invites Shimon as a guest, and declares kikri alecha, that doesn't forbid Shimon for eating bread that's at Reuven's table. Because he explains that when Reuven invited Shimon to eat with him, Shimon gets the right to eat a portion of the bread. Therefore, the portion served to Reuven is not my bread, because it's not my bread anymore, it's your bread. Says the Masham, that this machlokes that we're identifying between the Ran and the Mefarish is a very fundamental machlokes. Who legally owns the food served to the guest? The Ran holds that the food served to the guest legally belongs to the host. The Mefarish says it belongs to the guest. We have the similar machlokes regarding if somebody gives his workers in his field, to eat from the produce that they're cutting in the field. That the Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, that Tzadik Beis Rabbi Na'av teaches us that the food that a person who works normally eats are not considered as wages, which can be given to others. It's something that he could keep for himself. Tosfos says that the food that a worker keeps may not give into others because it's limited. The right is only to the food that he eats. Rashi says that no, once the person who's working picks up some food, which as we just said, he's entitled to eat, he owns it. And since he owns it, he can give it to other people as well. There's another very famous machloikis that's connected to this. What's the halacha if someone invites a guest to eat in his home and he takes the portion of food that he's given and uses it to marry a woman? Now, we all know that the first question that's asked to a chassan under the chuppah, does this food, ring, anything that's used to affect the kedushin belong to you? And now the question is, it has to belong to the chassan to have a real kedushin. So now the question is, does this belong to the chassan, the food that he served as a guest? The Riaz says that it does. And therefore, if the chassan would take that piece of food, the food that he was given as a guest, to be Makadosh and Isha, it would be a valid kedushin. Says the Masham that this question really is connected to the Machlokes Rishonim that we just discussed. What is the halachic status of the bread that I'm given as a guest? The Nidri Zeruzim however says that this question of Kedushin is not necessarily connected to what we're discussing here in Masecht Nedarim. He says that the Magen Avraham differentiates between food served to a guest in a serving plate versus food served to guest as individual portions. The Magen Avraham holds that food served to a guest on an individual plate becomes indeed the legal possession of the guest. It's his, and he could be mekadesh an isha with it. When the question is, if there's a serving plate, which of course the guest could take food from that serving plate, that's the question, does it become the guest? Says the Nidri Zeruzim, that even when the Ran says that the food served to the guest still belongs to the host, he's only referring to bread placed in the middle of the table on a serving plate. That's what the discussion is. Does that become the guest or not? And if there's another, could he eat from that bread? But something that's put on the tape on his plate, says the Ran, says the Nidri Zeruzim, everybody would agree becomes the guest and can be used for siddik, can be used to him to mekadosh an isha. This question is also relevant to a question that the Sfas Emes brings up. The Sfas Emes says that we know that the halacha is that we compare very often the halachas of Sukkot and the halachas of Pesach. And in Pesach, when we speak about the Dal and Minim, the Torah says, V'lkachtam lachem. And based on that, the Gemara Masechet Pesachim, the Flamet Chesam Beis, teaches us that the matzah, that we're going to fulfill the mitzvah of eating matzah Pesach by night, also has to be lachem. It has to belong to the person who wants to use that matzah to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So now we have a very interesting question. What will be the halacha if I have a guest and I serve him matzah? Will that matzah be considered his and he's fulfilling the mitzvah, or is it not his? And because of this question, the Sfas Emes suggests that one who's inviting guests to the Seder should be matnah to them the matzah. And not only should he be matnah to them the matzah, he should be matnah to them the matzah before Pesach, because you're not supposed to do a kinyan on Pesach. But that's only if we follow the opinion of the Ran, that the Ran says that the food that I serve my guest is not considered his. It's just considered mine. But if we follow the opinion of Rashi, or even according to the Nidri Zeruzim, the Ran, but it's not matzah that I have on a serving plate in the middle of the table, but it's matzah that's being given specifically to this guest. So the halacha is, says the Nidri Zeruzim, and the Rashi says even without that, it becomes the guest. So then there's no problem at all. This is also relevant to another question. And that is, let's say somebody is invited to a wedding, to a party, whatever the situation is, and there's food served at that party, obviously. And the question is, the food that's served at the party, can I take that food home? If it's considered that it becomes mine, so then I could take it home. But if it's still considered the owner's food, and the owner is the owner of the food, he's just inviting the guest to be allowed to eat the food, but it doesn't become his, then the halacha is that he shouldn't be allowed to take it home. The Shas HaTshuvas, B'tzeil HaChochma, and the Shas HaTshuvas, Shevet HaLevi, discuss it, that, and they both seem to take the approach that the food that's actually served to me, and this is very much similar to what the Sefer Nedri's Ruzum is saying, the food that's actually served to me, I could choose that instead of eating that food at the wedding, I'm taking that food home and I'm going to eat it at home or share it with my family. But, says the Shevet HaLevi, if I'm walking around the hall and there's extra food on the table that nobody has eaten, there's extra food in the serving plates that nobody has partaken from, says the Shevet HaLevi, I'm not allowed to take that food. That food is mine. And even though I'm an invited guest to the Simcha, I'm not allowed to take that food. He does, however, add one caveat. He says that if we know that all that food is going to be thrown out, so therefore, by me taking that food, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm actually doing something very positive, that instead of the food being thrown into the garbage and it's perfectly good food, I'm saving it, that it should not be disposed. Then, says the Shevet HaLevi, you would be allowed to take that food home. But under other circumstances, there's no question, says the Shevet HaLevi, the food that wasn't served to me, we have to be concerned for the opinion of the Ran, even though I technically maybe could sit and eat as much food as I want, it's not considered mine that I could take home or give to someone else.